So welcome back to Creative Disturbance. My name is Yvan Tina. I'm a doctoral student at the University of Texas at Dallas. I'm here today with Frieda Nacker. Good morning, Frieda Nacker.
This is my name. I'm from Bremen, Germany, currently, where I'm teaching digital media, and I'm also associated with the field, the large field of algorithmic or digital art.
Yes. So in your paragraph on computer art, past and present, you say that digital art exists as computer art, algorithmic art, net art, web art, software art, interactive art, computational art, generative art, and more. But you didn't quote the artificial life art. So I was wondering if you believe in artificial life as a product of computer art.
As a project of computer art. It's interesting, and I cannot tell you, did I exclude artificial life on purpose? I don't think so. But what you found out is obviously that artificial life is not on my screen.
Yes. But why?
Is this a deliberate decision? Maybe. I'm not certain. But artificial life to me is a bit of a misnomer. Life is not artificial. However, since there are people who do something artificially, they do it technically, that they call artificial life, they have the right to do so. If I say life is natural and not artificial, then the two would come together by saying, okay, artificial life is a form of art. No, it's not a form of life. It's a form of art called artificial life. That is a position I could accept. And then artificial life would be one of those many digital forms of art.
Okay, but I was asking the question. Don't you think that there's a similarity between what you said that in one of your paper, again, you say that we need today to learn to think how the machine would think if it could. So I was making a parallel with the idea on artificial life, that is life as it could be also. So I think that maybe artificial life, as you define it, you seems to define it, is also a way to invent a way of being. From this, is it for me an idea of a possibility that the computer enable us to make? I don't know. What is your?
Mm-hmm. The computer will not come alive. I don't think so. But the parallel you suggest here, that's interesting. I like that contradictory formulation of to learn to program.
Yeah.
You could view as trying to think as the machine would think if it could. It cannot. But when we think our way. If I suggest programming is a way of thinking that is in some way impossible, namely to think as a machine would think if it could, this is impossible.
What about the Turing machine? What do you think?
The Turing machine is a beautiful theoretical concept.
Yes.
No, it's a, as Turing himself called it, a paper machine. It's only written on paper. It's a description. Mm-hmm. It's a way of describing all, as one calls them, computable functions in a particularly nice way, because you can understand it without mathematics, the Turing machine description. But do the switch to life, no?
Yes.
Think as a machine would think if it could. Live as a machine would live if it could. No?
Yes.
I don't want to do this. I don't want to live the way a machine would live if it could. Why? Because if the machine would be living, then it would be living a life of computability. and I'm not computable.
But don't you think that the machine also could be, is actually provoking some emergent behavior in the human in return?
Absolutely. No.
By thinking how a machine would think, we start to develop a new way of thinking which didn't exist earlier.
Yeah.
So it's also maybe a product of the machine on ourselves, no?
Yeah. Whenever we deal with a machine, we first, when the machine is young, so to speak, in historic terms, we project onto the machine certain capacities. Mm-hmm. Then we learn better to deal with the machine, and it becomes a trivial device, the machine, more or less. And then the process reverses, and we project onto ourselves capacities of the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this has happened often in history, that machinic properties are all of a sudden discovered in human behaviors.
Yes.
And when that happens, there's always some who tend to say, oh, that's great, we now understand the human better. I personally do not believe in this. We can say that somebody who is forced to work on a conveyor belt has been reduced to a machine.
Mm-hmm.
However, the moment he leaves the factory, he's back to an ordinary human being. Most likely he will get drunk in the next moment. No?
Yeah.
A machine would not do this. So but we always remain, we keep something.
But he can start to develop some a repetitive, for instance, in the case of terrorism, people were trained to behave like mechanics. They could in return start to develop this new way of being out of the factory itself. So how do you see this move of the properties of the machine toward the human being?
Yvon, the factory and the military are the two large societal institutions where humans are trained to behave in a machinic way.
Yes.
No? The military is even a little more blatant than the factory, because there the thing is obey. No? Command and obey the command. And whatever the officer requires of you, you must do. Eat that shit. No?
Would you call it an artificial behavior too, an artificial life? Then?
No, artificial life, I would see as much better than the military.
Yes.
I have never been to the military. I'm a conscientious objector. But if I had been to the military, I would have loved, and the officer asked me to do something terrible, something stupid, just stupid. I would have loved if I would say, no, I'm not doing this. You are an artificial life. No, because he is turning himself into a machine also, shouting at me.
Yes.
And so you shut up. No, you speak only when I allow you to speak and so forth. This is all machinic behavior. Mm-hmm. So even those who have the power to do this and treat the others in a mean way have turned themselves into machines. I would hope that artificial life is something much better than this kind of machinic behavior. Something namely that we say maybe tongue in cheek, this behavior of the program, of the machine, of the algorithm looks as if it was living.
Mm-hmm.
You produce some worms, some tubes that look like worms and that twiggle around and so forth, and they move slowly on your screen, on a large screen. That would be artificial life for me.
Thank you. But now I want to know to hear you about this transfer of biological idea and concept to the world of computer. So what do you call, can you come back to the notion of generative approach, and you define it as the counterpoint of a synthetic aesthetics. So I was wondering, why do we use so many biological terms in the field that you seems to, I mean, you seems to say that there is no artificial life, okay? So what why are we using this biological concept in for things which are not alive?
The term generative art, or generative something else, was invented in order to acknowledge the fact that somebody who is trying to do something that could become art also uses a computer that is clearly generating something. And if we take away that loaded term, generative, it would be produces, does something, produces. The computer, a program on a computer, running on a computer, is clearly producing something in the sense of now it's not here, and a minute or an hour later it is here. In that sense, producing something. Not in the sense of our producing something. Now, when we make something, we also start from it's not here, only say raw materials, some ingredients that we then arrange, change, transform, and so forth. However, we have an intention in doing that. We follow an idea. We try to give form to an idea, right? The idea in some sense appears in the newly produced form. This is not true for the computer and not possible.
The computer has no intention and no agency to your point of view.
The computer gets to something like intention only insofar as you would use random numbers. No?
Yeah.
That's the most you can hope from a computer.
But what do you think when the machine start to manifest some, let's say, emergent behavior in this case, but you know the famous example of glitch art, you know, when the machine start to fail, to manifest some failures, you don't believe that this could happen? The glitch itself, the failure, is due to the machine itself and not to the human deterministic approach?
See, the glitch is so nice because you, us, humans, turn the glitch into the glitch. Before it is something happening on the screen or in the hidden parts of the machine. Now we say, oh, look at this. Something happened.
That we did not expect.
Artistic? Yeah, right. So it's emerging in our eyes. No, we decide this is something special, and we then take it up and turn it even into a nice little form, an artistic form, that can even be exhibited. It is, as you know better.
Oh, okay. So thank you very much, Frieder Nacker, for this discussion.
My pleasure.
Okay, hope to see you later on Creative Disturbance.
Maybe, yeah.
Thank you.